Hi, everybody. My name is Dudney, and welcome to my podcast, Aggressive Negress, where we'll be transgressing on today's taboo topics involving empowerment, gender, race, and relationships. If you've ever been to a house party, people sometimes congregate in the kitchen to chat. So grab your solo cup and let's talk. And in case you didn't catch it the first time, my name is Dudney. You know, like a fucked up knee. Dudney. I've been talking about starting this podcast for quite some time. You can ask any of my friends. And here we are at the top of 2019, and there were many topics in 2018 alone that could have served as a call to action. But what did it for me was Mr. Robert Kelly. Yes, that Robert Kelly. Before I jump into that, I wanted to chat a bit about the name Aggressive Negress. Funny enough, I had a friend draw up a logo that looked a lot like the one Amanda Seales uses for her podcast, Small Doses. I definitely recommend it. Go check it out. I made a comment on one of her Instagram posts saying, "Oh wow, funny how our minds work so similarly." Her reply back to me was something to the effect of, "Use your creative juices and come up with something else." I doubt she remembers that. It's funny how what is inconsequential to one person can have a lasting effect on another. Life is funny that way. In any event, I chose Aggressive Negress because A, I think it really embodies who I am as a person. As the oldest of three in a Caribbean household, I've always had to take charge in a lot of ways, especially as of late. That whole check on your strong friend, I'd be considered the strong friend. And in his 1868 sculpture called The Negress, French artist Jean-Baptiste Carpeau depicts a woman whose features express not only her strength, but her human vulnerability as well. With this podcast, I hope to own all of those titles, and then some, and invite you all on the journey with me. Because none of us should be made to live in some ready-made box, okay? To keep it 100, though, I had considered other names that would maybe have more quote-unquote mass appeal, but I was getting ready for brunch the other day and thought of bringing up the subject of R. Kelly and the documentary and thought about what everyone's reactions might be. I'm meeting up with a Latina from New York City, a white girl from Northern California. In my mind, I'm kind of like, well, can they even relate? Maybe. Maybe not, but it hit me then that B, the name had to remain Aggressive Negress for the culture, my individual Haitian American who's more American than Haitian culture, my born and raised in Flatbush, Brooklyn culture, my black woman in America culture, and yes, that black first and a woman second culture. But in any case, the topic that is currently tearing family and friends apart, R. Kelly. So, Lifetime recently aired a documentary called Surviving R. Kelly that chronicles his sexual predatory behavior with underage black and brown women. Behavior that the singer denies. However, the allegations of abuse have been around since the infancy stages of his career. The documentary later goes into the stories of families who are currently still trying to get their girls home. People close to R. Kelly are interviewed, such as family members, his former background singer, people who used to work for him, and many others. I had a Facebook friend post that this whole thing was saddening and triggering as fuck, particularly by everyone's responses, even some of her own. And you guys, I felt that. I really, really did. In contrast, my another friend who wasn't even bothered because they were never a fan. They have never and would never co-sign a pedophile. I couldn't say the same because honestly, R. Kelly was my guy. Okay? My college roommate freshman year was from the Shy, and we bonded over many, many things. And for the last time, they're called sneakers, not tennis shoes, okay? But one of those things was R. Kelly. Okay, we would sing and dance along to that Chocolate Factory CD. I idolized him with pictures from Word Up and Right On magazines on my wall. And so I definitely identified more with my Facebook friends' posts. Let me be clear, R. Kelly is a disgusting human being. Point blank, period. Hashtag not up for debate. But for me personally, I also feel remorse about how I felt about him. I loved him. I loved his music. Remorse about what he's done to other artists who I love, like Aaliyah. And ultimately, what that says about me as a person. Case in point, why did R. Kelly streams go up? Jada Pinkett Smith asked that exact same question on her Instagram recently, prompting her followers to join her on a Facebook Live to discuss it. I think the answer is simple, really. We all wanted to see what we missed and when we missed it from what we saw in the videos and the footage and the songs that we listened to over the years. Something like, "Girl, look in the back and forth video the way he grabbing up on Aaliyah." Or, "You see how he throwing sparkle around in that video? Girl, that ain't acting." They played a clip of one of his songs, "Honey Love," from the 12 Play album, sort of talking about how groundbreaking it was and the lyrics and all that. And I'm sitting on the couch watching and I'm like, "Honey Love? How did that video go again? Let me stream it. I'll just stream it." And boom, now I've got "Gimme That Honey Love" like stuck in my head and it just won't leave. I didn't want that, but it's stuck there now. I think that's one of the reasons why, for sure. Ebro, a popular radio personality here in New York, mentioned being able to successfully separate the music from the man, saying, quote, "Shitting on R. Kelly for his animalistic allegations and believing the women that have accused him has been my norm. But acknowledging he made amazing music is honesty." And see, that's the crossroads where I'm at. And I'm not sure if it's because Ebro's a man and fails to feel full empathy for the victims or what? But as I said, R. Kelly was my guy. And Keyword was. And I'm not saying the documentary is what did it. Please know that he's been canceled by me for some time now. But the detail in which the documentary went into, well, as my Facebook friend put it in her post, it's triggering as fuck. I'm almost having an existential crisis of sorts. And yes, that's serious. I can't simply say, "Well, the music was good. Wonder what he's cooking up next. Can't wait." No. No. A favorite phrase of mine is, "When you know better, you," and I'm imagining you guys finishing that sentence, but when you know better, you do better. And another favorite phrase of close relation, especially when I'm 100% sure that you did know and there's still no change, is more along the lines of, "Okay, well, it isn't because you don't know, but because you don't care." That being said, it's very few of us who would have been able to say, "You know what? We have something here. With my sister, my daughter, my niece, the kid is a star. We're about to blow up. The guarantees have been made. record contracts have been signed or close to it. But you know what? No, thank you, sir. I seen what you did with her. I heard what you did with her. I know what you did with her. We're going home. And on top of that, I suggest you get a lawyer. There's very few of us who would do that. I think there's a lot more of us who, in that same situation, the reply would have been, you know what? That last song we were listening to, that's the lead single. Okay? Let's unpack that. Let's unpack that response real quick. And side note, it's okay if that's not even where your mind immediately goes. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of moving parts here. You're trying to justify, unjustify a lot of things. But ultimately you kind of settle with, yeah, that song's the lead single. What I'm trying to get at is this. It's not some blatant, hey, maybe she should stay with you for a week to work in your home studio and maybe tweak some things, on some throw her back into the lion's den type shit. Nor is it, oh my God, bro, you're a genius. This is great work. You're awesome. Where you're almost praising the abuser because now you're effectively co-signing or vouching for that person. That's not what you're trying to do, right? So you kind of just stick with, you know what? The work is being done. It's gonna be fire. The album is gonna take off. You can just feel it. It's palpable. And this is about to make my sister, my daughter, my niece blow up. And ultimately, especially if you came from humble beginnings, you see that money. Guys, money is indeed the root of all evil. And if you don't feel that way, it's because you haven't hit that core root yet where such evil resides. Look at the way corporations move. We live in a capitalistic society. Hell, it's January 2019, and we're currently in a whole government shutdown because of squabbles over federal dollars. But getting back on topic, you over here thinking, okay, we're about to blow up, on some Martin shit. And not for nothing, your sister, daughter, niece, blowing up is important to you because then you blow up. On some Martin shit again. What was it Cole was saying? When I blow up, kaboom, we all blow, some shit like that. All my Martin heads know the deal. And now this is where a lot of times households will sort of overlook behaviors and go on with the status quo. It's a really hard cycle to break, and even harder one to live in. That's a fact. There are just so many layers. But basically, you're acknowledging the reality of the situation. The star quality is there, there's no doubt about that, right? So let me just try to adjust how I move. And there's self-awareness in that behavior. So, for example, where she goes, I go. I'm going to do my best to never let her out of my sight. Or if the abuser comes around, I'll make sure it's in a public space, some sort of safe space. Or you may have heard it as, put some clothes on when so-and-so comes around. Just something. And your mind tries to justify this change because, you know what? I'm gonna do my part to curtail the abuse. In my mind, that is something that I can do to hopefully stop it, which is unlikely to happen, of course. But, certainly slow it down a bit, maybe buy some time until there's some sense that could be talked into either party. Keep in mind, Aaliyah's mother released a statement saying that she traveled everywhere with her, even when she was on tour, refuting some of the allegations made in the documentary. And while I'm sure this is true, and her mother may wholly believe this to be an absolute fact, you guys, who hasn't been an adolescent teen boy or girl? Some of y'all had parents that were strict as fuck and seemingly everywhere. Another one of my favorite phrases comes to mind here, where there's a will, there's a way. And there's no group that'll find a way more than a hormonal teen. I mean, Lord help us if Aaliyah was actually still alive to speak on her behalf. I mean, I wonder what she'd say. Would things have been different if she and others like her had an aggressive negress in their corner, 10 toes all the way down? So, you know, you move on, the lead single drops, she does indeed blow up. It's a wrap now, okay? The money is flowing. And again, there are a few of us who would stop that bag once they're coming in consistently. But it's a lot more of us who would just adapt and continue to modify our behavior to where we think we're making a difference. And in your head, you probably are. But at the same time, the bags are being secured. You can deny it if you want to, but everything has a price. In other words, what's the value here relative to time spent in the effort to achieve that which we hold in high regard? And of course, with money comes the power in this country. That's kind of the 1-2 punch. You ultimately choose how to wield said power, for good or for evil, if you will. Miss Lauryn Hill said it best. You can get the money, you can get the power, but keep your eyes on the final hour. And that final hour will come, y'all, for R. Kelly and everyone like him, in this lifetime or the next. And my vote is 100% for this lifetime. But, you know, those sort of things aren't up to me. Lastly, if it isn't clear yet, you guys, I have only seen the first part. Lifetime calls it episode 1 of 6 total episodes. Pray for me, y'all. Thanks for listening to Aggressive Negress. I'm your host, Dudney. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at IamDudney. Hit me up. Let me know your thoughts. Please, please, please share this episode. Tell a friend to tell a friend. I will aim to pump out content bi-weekly. So in other words, check for a new episode every payday. When you get that direct deposit, when it hits, check for me. Hit me up. Thanks again, you guys, and see you soon.